Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Tuesday, everyone. This is Melissa Biliardi, your host. And tonight our call-in numbers are 310-982-4227 or 877-497-4103. That's our toll-free. Press 1. We'll cue you into the show. Thank you, 91,000-plus listeners, for tuning in to Help for HD Radio. Obviously, without you, we could not bring credible and vital information to our community through Help for HD Radio. Tonight, our incredible special guest is Margaret Tollerton, who is the Statewide Outreach Director for the Missouri Cures Education Foundation. She brings with her three decades of marketing, communications, and nonprofit experience. She's a graduate of the University of Missouri. Her personal and professional life has been dedicated to improving the lives of others through responsible health care, education, and equality. A proud mother of three, Ms. Tollerton earned her black belt at age 50, woo, and is a licensed Reiki master. Her great-grandparents, grandparents, and parents all died from diseases that they now seek to support to cure. And Missouri Cures Education Foundation is a statewide nonprofit public education and advocacy alliance working to promote and protect medical advances to improve the health of Missourians and stimulate the economy in the state. So welcome to your show, Margaret. How are you tonight?
Thank you, Melissa. I'm doing fine, and I'm real glad to be here with you.
Well, I'm thrilled because our Vice President Katie Jackson is the one who connected us with you, and I'm so glad that she was able to entice you to come on the show and tell us all about what Missouri Cures does.
Well, and so thank I'm you, glad, Katie. You know, before the show to find out that you actually are in California, so I'm presuming that you already know a lot about regenerative medicine and things because of progress that California has really done to lead the nation as far as regenerative medicine. And Missouri's not far behind, you know, because we really helped put Missouri on the map as far as regenerative medicine. Now, I'll say in the old days, like in only in 2005, 2006.
The old days.
I mean, you already know since you announced from my bio that I did get my black belt at 50. So I might as well admit I'm 61 now.
I'm impressed. I'm impressed about that, by the way.
I was the oldest in the school when one of my daughters was only 11. She wanted to take it, and so as I was signing her up, she said, "Mommy, I can't take this without you."
Oh, that's so cute.
So for the next 8 years. He and I did Taekwondo. But at any rate,
awesome.
In 2005, 2006, the original organization was set up to support and promote the stem cell amendment that was on the ballot in Missouri in 2006. Okay. And that organization was called the Missouri Coalition for Life-Saving Cures.
Okay, wow.
Once that amendment passed, so election night, it narrowly passed, but it still passed, and the stem cell amendment, you know, became rule in Missouri. Then that organization disbanded. You know, it reached its goal, it disbanded. And so that was a C4 organization. The very next day, opposition started filing lawsuits, and that really told the powers that be that more education is needed. So that's when they formed the C3 nonprofit called Missouri Cures Education Foundation. And I missed all that. So I didn't come on board until Missouri Cures Education Foundation was formed. And about 8 years ago, something like that.
Okay.
And so it's been remarkable to be part of this organization and keep so in tune to all the progress and how science has come such a long way, even in these 8 years. Of course, we all can't wait for all the
I know.
Treatments, therapies, and cures. But in the meantime, you know, especially when we remember that it took Salk, 30 years to come up with the polio vaccine, which certainly was well worth those 30 years. So, but now to see how science is progressing so quickly. Not quick enough, you know, for some, but in all my travels, in all my research, I really firmly believe that whatever anybody has, there is a researcher out there trying to find better treatment therapies and cures for that.
Hopefully, right.
I mean, they're just really, the more we can inspire our young people to go into science and math and engineering and, you know, the whole STEM program, the better we and our whole country and our world will be. Well, so as outreach director, I travel the state talking to groups and classes and all about the latest and greatest research that's done. And so I brought with me just a sampling. You can, there's no way I can bring or address all of the research, but I do try and list as much research as I can, pertinent research, on our website. So our website is MissouriCures.org. And there, like I said, I'm under news. That's where I list all the latest and greatest that I can find, especially when I'm not on the road. And so those articles, then, I take the, I usually concentrate on that research that is being done in Missouri, but then when there's other really good research that's being done outside Missouri, then, you know, I do mention if it happens in, I mean, I know there's research that does happen outside of Missouri, but we really try to focus on.
Are there any collaborations happening with Missouri?
The good news is, the good news is when funding seemed to dry up a bit, scientists for, you know, eons, for decades, were originally taught and practiced their science in silos for whatever reason, whether they were afraid that their secret would get out and they weren't ready for their secret to get out. But then when funding started to change the dynamics, then scientists had to learn to do what, I'm going to be real sexist here, what we women have done from, you know, day one, and that's collaborate. Scientists
that word collaborate.
And that's why the internet was invented. So scientists could collaborate. Okay?
Exactly.
And so, I mean, in a nutshell, I don't mean to be so facetious, but because of that, scientists were able to turn something bad into something very, very good, because now they are collaborating all over the world. The University of Missouri can make an announcement that they partnered with, and I'm just pulling this out, I'm not reading it, that they collaborated on one particular project with someone in Israel and then another team in Canada. And, you know, I mean, and they bring all their specialty to that one table. And so that collaboration has changed the face of science and hopefully speeds it up a bit, because there's more proof on the table.
Well, and with our technology, the technology that we have today, everything is instant. So, you know, apparently we can get information across the table a lot quicker than we did, you know, even 10 years ago.
For better or for worse, that's true. And as far as patients and doctors, I mean, it helps across the board, across the board. What's frustrating, I think, is that truly back in my day, media seemed to play a vital role. All media played a vital role in promoting breakthroughs. And then, you know, journalism just kind of switched and became extremely interested in ratings and however happened. And so that opened the door for organizations such as Missouri Cures to really promote the good news.
Exactly. That's what we're trying to do too.
And you really are doing a good job at that. I have. And what is your website again for the audience?
Help4HD.org. Help4HD.org.
I was real impressed with it, Melissa. You really gave a lot of information, and I was impressed with your sponsors as well.
Well, I've had a lot of help.
How long have you all been?
Well, I started the radio show in 2010.
Oh,
and then
wow.
I started support groups, and I had my first symposium in 2010, and I pretty much launched everything from there. So Help for HD has been around since 2010, but the radio show, you know, I'm really only a mom trying to help, you know, kind of make communication happen. And so when I first started the radio show, I had no idea that I would have 91,000 listeners. I thought, oh, okay, I'll have maybe 1,000 people. At some point in time, I may have maybe 1,000. I mean, that was kind of my first goal, you know, to get 1,000 people.
Yeah.
And it just took off. It grew. Industry is listening. Other disease states are looking at this model to do the same thing for their, you know, their category.
Excellent.
Disease category. And, you know, it's really a reproducible model to get communication, to bridge communication. That's the whole point. Because when I first started in 2010, I didn't see, the communication was not flowing across from the families to, you know, as easily as it could, given this format. So that was the genesis of, you know, even doing this show, was that trying to bridge communication to the community, especially those who are not connected to, like, centers of excellence and support groups. And, you know, I've been able to locate people that are off the grid, so to speak. They're not connected. So I've been able to connect those people that way, which is helpful, I think.
But
the whole point,
too,
like you said, the whole point is to bring, you know, credible information, education, because we need to educate our community. I need to educate myself. Every day I'm learning something new. And clinical trials, it's really important to educate the community about clinical trials. Whether they can participate or not, at least they have the knowledge of what's going on.
Yes. Well, on our website, I do have a segment on clinical trials. I modeled that after Mayo Clinic in Rochester.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as your audience knows that they can go to clinicaltrials.gov and look up whatever clinical trial is available to them. That is like the master plan of all clinical trials. I did look up, and St. Louis really has quite a remarkable neurodegenerative a department at Washington.
Oh, really?
As recent as October 24th of last year, the headline read, "Scientists convert skin cells into brain cells to fight disease." And to fight Huntington's disease. So I was glad before I came on the show to learn myself. I'm learning stuff every day, too. But, you know,
Is that the iPS cells?
Yes.
Well, it's really all about the education. I mean, really,
and
the more the better. I mean, the more.
Hope.
Yes, it does.
As
it really does impart hope.
That's right. Well, in much earlier in my life, so high school and college and a little beyond, I was a nursing tech at Boone County Hospital in Little Columbia, Missouri. And that really certainly made an impact on my life and my beliefs. And one of the basic things that I learned there and through that experience is you have to have hope in order to heal. So I will really hope that, you know, this show and the education that you provide each week will help whoever is listening just to know
That's
and hang
hope.
On to hope.
Yep. That's yep. the hope.
It's just real important in order to heal. Well, I brought with me today a number of examples of different research that's being conducted.
Okay.
And so if
Great.
You'd like, I can go through. I mean, I'll just read the headline, right?
Okay.
And then if you want to discuss any of them, we can do that too.
Okay, that's great.
But it also, hopefully, will give you an idea of all the wonderful things that are happening in Missouri as far as medical research.
Right.
So to start with, and these are all within the last 3 months. Most of them are within the last week, but I was pretty partial. This one, this article came out from St. Louis University in January 20th of this year, and it's so good that I just had to include it. So it skews my week, okay? But St. Louis University researcher prevents type 1 diabetes in lab.
Ooh.
New approach stops destruction of beta cells, preserves insulin production. Well, that's huge.
Awesome.
Who knew, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
is that in the
Columbia.
Dish? Is that in the dish, or is that in the dish? Like,
let me see. Burst and his research team focused on blocking the autoimmune process that destroys beta cells and leads to diabetes, with the aim of developing therapies that can prevent the illness from developing rather than treating its symptoms. None of the animals on the treatment developed diabetes, even when we started treatment after. This is a quote. Even when we started treatment after significant beta cell damage had already occurred. We believe this type of treatment would slow the progression of type 1 diabetes in people or potentially even eliminate the need for insulin therapy, said Burris, let's see what his first name is, Thomas Burris, chair of pharmacological and physiological science at St. Louis University.
Wow.
So
the reason I'm asking you about that is because a lot of our HD individuals do have diabetes. In fact, my son has diabetes and Huntington's.
Oh,
yeah.
So goodness.
And he has other like he has Klinefelter. So some of our HD individuals do have like comorbid conditions or you know disease states. We've heard of a lot of brain cancers and a lot of diabetes and blood disorders like hemophilia and things like that.
Well,
unfortunately,
you will be able to come on our website, MissouriCures.org. It'll also get us if you do the .net or .com, but I build it on .org. I don't have Huntington's disease specifically as one of the diseases that I highlight yet, but if you look under like this was for SLU. If you look up around the state, news around the state, you'll be able to get this same article.
Uh-huh.
And then another one that I found was there's a scientist at Washington University Mallinckrodt Institute of Radiology, and this scientist, I hope I pronounced his name right, Dr. Samuel Achillacu, has invented what they call, quote-unquote, cancer goggles. Have you heard of those?
Oh, wow. No, I have not.
So they can actually use these goggles to, been worn by doctors operating on patients with breast cancer, liver cancer, and melanoma.
Interesting.
An injected dye reacts with infrared light to make cancerous tissue light up, helping surgeons locate the tumor and separate it from healthy tissue.
Wow, that's awesome.
Okay, next. I mean, I love getting
I like
good news.
Too. It's okay. All good stuff.
It is. And so, again, you just can't get enough good news. Okay,
right?
This is out of Washington University, and that's all in St. Louis, right? New target identified in fight against Alzheimer's and multiple sclerosis. Cute.
Okay.
Wow. This is also from Washington. New understanding of stroke damage may aid recovery.
Huh. I think I heard that one.
Okay. This one is from Columbia, MU, my alma mater. Individuals with type 2 diabetes should exercise after dinner. exercising after a meal can more effectively reduce risks of cardiovascular disease.
Ooh.
And what I really like about articles like this and why I include an article like this is that all too often, I think I can get bogged down in the actual science of it. And some of these articles are really pretty heavy duty, you know. But this is something that anybody with type 2 diabetes can do.
Mm-hmm. I just posted your website in our chat room. So those of you listening can click on that link and go right to the website and check out MissouriCures.org. Click around in there. Click on the news button. That's what you're talking about in your newsroom, right?
Yes.
Your articles,
The articles that I'm highlighting now are the news around the state.
Okay,
you'll find
the
buttons
right.
Under news include, mm-hmm. you know, you can go to specific diseases. You can do around the state. You can do just general news.
Love how you have your website set up. It's very, very navigatable.
Oh, thank you. Honestly, I have been having some problems with it lately. But it's just an ongoing thing. You know, I
mm-hmm.
designed that website about 2.5-3 years ago. And I also do the newsletter. And so for any of your listeners who would like to subscribe, we put out a monthly newsletter, and you can go on the home page of our website and scroll all the way to the bottom, and on the right-hand side there you can sign up to get our newsletter. So in our monthly newsletters, and I include the latest and greatest from inside Missouri, and then the latest and greatest from outside Missouri. And then I highlight a researcher, I highlight a new business in Missouri having to do with medical research and regenerative medicine and stuff. And then I also highlight those happenings around the state that Joe Public can attend and learn more about XYZ.
Mm-hmm.
So really, and we don't, like some nonprofits, we keep our subscribers private.
Mm-hmm.
Another from MU Healthcare, first in mid-Missouri to offer less invasive approach, which is new heart valve replacement options benefits high-risk patients.
Wow.
Kansas City, Children's Mercy, a hospital in Kansas City, had a Valentine's Day special, a heart transplant for a child.
Oh, my.
And it was extremely successful. That's a real touching story.
Yeah.
Okay, and now outside of Missouri, and another article that really hits home with a lot of people. This is from the University of Cambridge. Molecular inhibitor breaks cycle that leads to Alzheimer's.
Ooh, that's a good one.
And so that one's a good one, yes. Another one is out of University of Genova in Italy. More promising data on stem cell transplant for multiple sclerosis.
You know, of these articles, are they talking about clinical trials at all, or are these just scientific breakthroughs that are happening?
All of the above. A lot of them
that
I just mentioned are scientific breakthroughs. The clinical trials, I know as far as Missouri, Washington University probably tops the list for clinical
mm-hmm.
trials available in Missouri. And
mm-hmm.
they really, I think that is one of the hardest things to do is to promote clinical trials.
Yeah,
and
it
get
is.
Them, you know, because I
it's
I don't
a
know
confusing
how
business. It's very confusing for people. They don't quite understand the process and why do we have to do it this way. And it's time consuming. It takes a lot of time and effort to participate. But and the thing with clinical trials is it's not a cure. It's not a immediate.
There's no guarantee. Right.
Yeah, it's not an immediate fix. This is something that our next generation may benefit from. And so participation
and
in clinical trials.
Yeah, I meet a lot of people who actually stay involved, not for themselves, but just for the next generation.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I have several families in our support groups that are so wonderful, and I can't appreciate them enough for doing the clinical trials, because they know it's not for them. They know it's for their children,
mm-hmm.
their grandchildren, mm-hmm. and so, you know, this is our legacy to help wherever we can.
And legacy,
you know,
was the perfect word for it. You know,
mm-hmm.
they're not only making history by their participation, but it is leaving a legacy.
Yes.
Which is, you know, I think clinical trials and just discussing medicine, when it's so personal to each and every person who may have something, be it Huntington's disease, be it cancer, be it MS, you know, it takes trust.
Mm-hmm.
Trust in your doctor, trust in your therapist, trust, you know, and certainly trust in clinical trials. I actually
right.
work with a lady who is always doing a clinical trial. She is a cancer survivor of 22 years, and then she
wow.
has a reoccurrence, and so she's back on clinical trials. And
yeah.
I learned so much from her about clinical mm-hmm. trials and the importance of them, that I never would have known. I mean, it's just an understatement that
yeah.
the value of clinical trials.
Right. You know, our vice president, Katie, she and her husband have been in 5 clinical trials.
Wow.
And they're only in their 30s. They're real young, you know.
Oh,
5.
Wow, that's
yeah,
great.
Just amazing. Yep.
Well, and you know, I kind of keep my eyes open for if there is a clinical trial that they just need healthy people, but I don't find those. Because knock on wood, I'm healthy. I would try
yeah.
to do a clinical trial but I've been blessed, and my children have been blessed.
Yeah, good
so
for
far, Jill.
So
far, so good. You know.
Well, I have a question for you.
Yes.
You know, you've been doing this gig for a while. I mean, you've seen a lot of changes. You've seen a lot of growth. I mean, you've probably seen some things that would curl our toes up, but.
Yes.
As an outreach director, as a communications for nonprofit, what have you seen as like the biggest change for the good in the whole nonprofit communication scene?
At the first, in this specific, if I can be more specific than the general nonprofit world.
Mm-hmm.
But Missouri Cures is such a young, I mean, here you're younger than we are, but when you're dealing
yes,
with
yes.
young nonprofits, it's a whole different ballgame. My first job out of college was with the American Cancer Society, so I was the mm-hmm. one who initiated the Great American Smokeout in Missouri. And
I saw that.
That still lasts today.
Yeah.
But that's a 75-year-old institution, you know, the American
right.
Cancer Society. And so I've had it's been interesting the way to try and get acceptance to just to talk to a group, you know, because nobody's heard of Missouri Cures or, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so as the science and the need has progressed, the science is good now that it's evolved into regenerative medicine, so acceptance is more widespread, you know,
mm-hmm.
really. And yet it is getting the word out and in a non-threatening way.
Right.
And I say
That's
that because all too often those older, more established nonprofit organizations can often feel threatened.
Right.
And we don't offer a threat to anybody. We just offer education.
Right. And a different
and that's frustrating.
Right. kind of like a different spin, right? So we're
yes.
not trying to emulate or copy or take over somebody else. We're trying to carve out our own niche and provide, you know, education information.
Well, yes. And the beauty of it is regenerative medicine encompasses all of the other nonprofits. I mean, it could be an umbrella mm-hmm. for that matter, just similarly to how California, you know, CIRM has done. It's the umbrella, and yet it's not limited. It's my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's
right.
not limited to a specific one disease or five diseases or 10 diseases
no,
or whatever.
It's not.
I mean, any disease,
yeah.
any researcher can apply for funding to research, and that's the beauty of it, where I think people are wanting more information. I mean, I think that's
right,
another beauty
too.
Of the Internet and how that has really transformed nonprofit organizations.
Yeah.
Whether it's more clarity, whether it's just having a website presence so that anyone around the world. I love seeing who reads what article, you know, in what country. That's what fascinates me on our
mm-hmm.
website. It's just, yes, there is a need around the world for hope.
Right.
And I'm sure with your 91,000 listeners, you have that same thing.
Well, unfortunately, I don't have a lot of demographics right now. We, you know, we used to have a mobile app, and we were able to get demographics from that, but we no longer have that. So we're trying to get that going again. And as far as analytics goes, I mean, you know, we have to figure out how to do analytics a lot better for demographic information. But, you know, like you said, we're new, we're very new. We're just the new kids on the block. So we're trying to kind of eke it
and
out.
And
bravo
for you, you know, to accomplish as
yeah.
much as you have in such a short time is huge.
Thank you.
It's huge.
Thank you. Well, we have a lot of people out there helping us, too, you know, spreading
exactly.
the word. And that's really, really important to us to know that what we're doing is valuable to them, that they would push the information out to the rest of the community.
Yeah.
That's very, very important.
And that's where Missouri Cures Education Foundation has really enjoyed watching that evolve here in Missouri as well. You know, before, when I was first hired, it just really felt oftentimes lonely. And now it has really progressed so that we have been able to be successful in partnering with some key organizations to put on our special events. I mean, last year we put on our first, in St. Louis, our first Women in Science and Entrepreneurship Conference, otherwise known as WISE. Get it? Women in Science and Entrepreneurship. I just love the acronym.
Love
I love it.
It.
And
are you having that again this year?
We are.
What month?
And I should know that. Wait, where's my calendar?
Is it in your event?
Not yet, because we have to get the speakers approved
yet.
I'm hoping, actually, I am hoping this weekend to put a save the date, you know, something like that. But here, I've got my calendar in front of me now. So the WISE event in St. Louis will happen on October 23rd at the Danforth Center, and it will be an all-day affair.
Good to know.
Last year when we put this on, we had multiple sessions with each session had different panelists with a moderator, and it was just superb, and it sold out.
Wow. Okay, very good.
So St. Louis, we're hoping to do that earlier. That's back in, what did I say, October? In May 1st, we're putting on a cancer research symposium. Again, in St. Louis, and that's from 9 to noon, and I think that's also at the Danforth Center. That is up on the website already.
Okay.
And we used to do a lot of monthly events, and last year we really learned some helpful lessons, and one of them was, you know, when we put on that WISE event, it was just phenomenal, and the difference...
Wow.
Organizations that wanted to partner with us, be a part of that, was wonderful, absolutely
mm-hmm.
wonderful. And so, again, with we're evolving, as you are, I'm sure, but we evolve and use what works.
Yes.
And how to get the messages out. I say plural because of the different diseases, but how to get the messages
mm-hmm.
out to more people more efficiently. And so that worked. And so we're repeating it.
Very good. Yep. So May 1st at 9, from 9 o'clock to 12 p.m., is
yes.
the 2015 Cancer Research Symposium. That is Friday, May 1st, from 9 until noon at the Donald Danforth Plant Science Center at 975 North Warson Road, St. Louis, Missouri. You can go to the website, MissouriCures.org, and click on the events. I think it's under special events, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, special events. That's great. I just love this website. I'm going to see if I can fix ours to do this, too.
it's really easy to navigate. I use
mm-hmm.
WordPress.
I was going to say, that looks like WordPress, yeah.
And, you know,
like
they have different themes to pick your theme, and I picked, you know, the particular theme that gave me what I wanted, and I really wanted easy navigation. Originally I wanted motion, and so originally I had slides moving on the home page, and that kind of bit
uh-huh.
me. And so now I think there's only, it doesn't move anymore, and I'm still working on it. So, but for the actual information, it's WordPress, and WordPress is certainly not as costly as having other methods of building a website.
Right.
So, I've been well pleased, but also we get a lot of help too. I mean, I've got some real good teachers. This was my first website in 15 years.
And, that's great.
You know, I feel like this old broad still has it. You know, I can still build a website. But it has
changed a lot. So, are you still doing taekwondo?
Pardon me?
Are you still doing taekwondo?
No, I had enough after black belt. I mean, it was like, you know, bruises, and I never broke anything or anything. But actually, before my children all, you know, left home, so to speak, the one daughter I told you I took the classes with her, but the other two, my son, before he moved away to Austin, Texas, to begin his after college, you know, life and career, and then I had him sign up and for a jiu-jitsu class. And played the same thing, and he said, "Well, you got to take it with me, Mom." And so, sure enough, he stands 6'5", and I'm not 6 foot, right?
Oh my gosh!
I'm 5'7", 5'8".
Well,
you're pretty tall. In that class, I'll never forget. In that class, he had to throw me standing up facing each other. He had to throw me over his shoulders, and then I had to throw him over my shoulders. And it's it was a trip. I mean, I wanted my children to be able to defend themselves when they're alone. You know, I just really believe in doing what education. It boils down to education again. But if you can prevent harm, then so be it. It helped me a lot.
Margaret, do you have a philosophy about education and how you'd go about your day with trying to teach people about all these disease states and clinical trials and, advocating for all of this? Do you have a philosophy that you go by?
I have a personal philosophy. And that probably stems from getting my bachelor's degree in education, secondary education.
Mm-hmm.
And I just really believe that one of the main ways that any of us can keep our mind active, otherwise, you know, in vernacular, stay young, is to learn something new every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I that is to my core, to learn something new every day. The bonus is, as far as Missouri Cures Education Foundation goes, when I find an article that I can post either online or also in a newsletter, I feel like I'm helping. I mean, I know I'm helping people. Whoever reads it,
right.
One, they're going to learn something new, so, you know, hopefully I'm helping keeping them young, and two, I just believe that the more education, the more information the public has, the more hope they'll have for either their loved ones, or they'll also be able to find, you know, I've had a lot, since I traveled the state, I've had people come up to me and admit to me that they started their research on our website and followed the link.
Oh, wow. Uh-huh.
And then found, you know, where they wanted to be in front of whoever they wanted to be in front of, you know, by following the link. And
that's great.
I just really, that really gave me such...
encouraging, isn't it?
Encouraging is right. I mean, I know people are reading it, and but to actually take it to that level, you know, it was just, she was a person in need, and she and her daughter came to one of my talks, and they came just to thank me for what I put on the newsletter. I mean, what I put on the website. And they didn't need to do that, you know. It was just so the beauty that I think presents itself to us every day. It's just a matter of, can we see it? Can we stay? I want to say focused enough, but can we? So you're not, you know, at 61. I'll use that age again. My attention, let's say, is different than where it was when I had three children under three. And,
of course. Yeah.
You know, it was a lot different then. And so now I feel like I can really use and hone in those teaching skills for the broad public of, when I just get excited when I can find the right article for that day. You know, it's just ongoing. But excited when I feel like I'm in on inching closer and closer to better therapies, treatments, and also, I want to live to see the day when we have cures. I mean, that's just in my being now. And yes, I'm 61,
now,
go ahead.
Well, you're a youngster still, by the way. 61 is young.
Thank you.
Will you be adding more disease states to your website?
I hope so. And certainly Huntington's disease would be, you know, a priority. I'm just not sure. I can't give you a time frame of when I might be able to do that. I mean, it might be as far out as summer. I'm not sure. But it's like I said, the website is certainly an ongoing process. But as they come up with more and more, identifying more diseases, and as the United States actually makes funding available, our government makes funding, like NIH or, you know, whatever, for the rare diseases, well, yeah, I'd like to have rare diseases on. You know, it's just as the whole industry is progressing. And, I do hope to have a special section better defined than what I have now, but on veterans. Because, you know, for veterans, and if you just look at the research that's being done to help veterans with the 3D printing, you know, organ printing, just remarkable what scientists are able to do. Also to grow limbs. At the WISE conference in St. Louis this year, we've got Doris Taylor is going to be our keynote speaker, and she's in Texas, and she's the scientist who is building hearts. I mean, I can't wait to hear this woman speak.
I know.
And learn from her. You know, I just get so excited knowing that there are people out there who dedicate their lives to this.
I know. It's incredible. And you don't even realize it until you start researching yourself what these people are doing. They're absolutely living, breathing, sleeping, eating science. 24/7, they don't stop.
But they
They're
live
amazing.
For it. It's not like it's, you know, I mean, I've met scientists that actually early on, I met scientists and read about scientists in particular that had already chosen their field of study, and then like one of their children is in a car accident and suffers a spinal cord injury, so they switch all their research to spinal cord injury.
Yeah, that's what I would do.
A lot of these scientists, it is personal.
Yep.
And so they want it just as fast and accurate as we do.
Right.
You know, there's also a movement, you know, the FDA, bless their hearts, the FDA has to approve every research thesis.
Well, we want them to.
Yes.
We really want them to. We want everything.
Yeah.
We want them to. We want it to be safe. And that safety is number one. I mean, we do not want to cause any harm on anyone.
Yep. And
especially
that is
those
the first stage, isn't it, for human clinical trials, is to prove its safety. Yep, yep.
Right.
We want that. And the FDA
we love
the only,
FDA.
Yep. And we're the only country that has one.
I know.
I mean, it's just really special, you know.
Does it slow things up? Yes, it probably does. But I would rather be safe than not, you know?
Yes. Yes, I would rather be safe than not also. Especially, where was I? I think it was last week or maybe the week before. I did speak with a group that actually had Vietnam veterans in their audience. And,
oh, wow.
This man stood up and he identified the Vietnam vets in the audience and he said, back in our day, we trusted and had to go through Agent Orange and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And so why should we trust now was the question.
I know.
And
well, but
was,
that was the government too, right?
That's true, but all the more reason to expect safety first.
Exactly.
Is my tie-in, you know, for the FDA.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, it's really tragic, you know, when I met Christopher Reeve's doctor and learned how there was a company that had come up with what they thought was better treatments, better therapies for spinal cord injury, and Christopher Reeve apparently wanted to get in on that clinical trial. But the FDA, in that application, that company had to first educate the FDA all about spinal cord, and then educate the FDA on their thesis of how they felt their what they wanted to invent would be helpful to spinal cord injury patients. And through all that time of educating, it took 10 years before the FDA would approve. And the day they, I mean, this sounds dramatic, but this is how it was relayed to me. The day they received approval from the FDA was the day they went bankrupt. So that rippled through the scientific community. And, you know, now it's very common to hear, like, institutions, for example, they will make a big announcement of this great research that's being conducted. But the human clinical trials, inevitably, seem to more often than not recently are being done abroad while they are going through the approval process with the FDA.
Right. I've seen
and
that too.
I think that's great because they get more and more data to support their thesis. And so it's just going to benefit all of us in the end.
Right.
And so that's another change as far as, you know, we had already mentioned collaboration and things like that. Well, now, you know, do clinical trials in other countries is also huge. And I would think somewhat new in the recent past as opposed to as old as science, you know. But it's a small world these days.
Yeah,
and that
it
might
is.
Be also because of the Internet, you know.
Right. Well, I think the communication is real time. We don't have, we still use snail mail, but very seldom do we use snail mail now.
Yeah, you're right.
Everything is is automatically sent. It's instant. It's real time. So that really facilitates a lot of information happening a lot quicker, I think.
Yeah, that's true. And but that brings up another point to actually discern what information you're going to trust.
And, exactly.
You know,
yep.
There's also other organizations that their sole purpose is to shut down quack clinics around the world. And fortunately, they do. You know, they this one. What is the name of this? I'm trying to think of. Is it ISSRP? I think that's one of the organizations. At any rate, they recently shut down like 5 different fraudulent clinics, stem cell clinics in the Dominican Republic.
Oh, that's
Bravo.
Good.
You know, I mean, I like to hear, I like to know that there are
yes.
organizations out there that are doing all of us good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to, again, do not cause harm. And,
exactly. And you know,
so
that's kind of the theme in our nation is, you know, do no harm. But unfortunately, you know, there are some instances where that just doesn't come across. You know, but
that's true. That's
we're,
true.
We're, we are
hopefully,
lucky to live
Missouri
in a
sure
country.
Pardon me.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. I'm
well, I
just
say,
mumbling.
I just really. Now, you know, I'm 61 years old, and I really take information and communication extremely seriously. So whatever
yes.
I put on the website is from sources that I have come to trust as far
right.
as being accurate in reporting what research has been done or what policy has been changed or, you know, things like that. And so I know we have regular readers, but I would welcome your audience to check us out.
Definitely.
And they also, you know, there's a page on the website about us, I think it is, and it gives, you know, you'll see a picture of me
uh-huh.
and our small staff of 3. But I uh-huh. encourage any of your listeners to email me if they, you know, see something on the website or if they wish there was something that was on the website and it's not, or if they enjoyed this show. I mean, feedback
right.
is important to me.
Right. And please feel free to take this archive show. Once we're done, it'll go in the archive. It's also available on iTunes, so it's free downloads on iTunes. You can send that out to your contacts, to your, you know.
Oh, wonderful.
All of, you can just send it out and use it as much as you want. You can do with it whatever you wish. So I so appreciate you coming on the show. It's just been a pleasure talking with you. You're so delightful.
Oh,
I really do appreciate
you.
Everything you're doing.
Yeah.
Don't stop. Keep going.
And you too.
And,
I really appreciate being on your show. I just admire you for
Thank
doing
you.
It. Do you have
Thank
a radio
you.
Background or anything like that? That you
I
would
do
be
not.
So brave to, oh, my
not.
Goodness. Oh my goodness!
Yeah,
imagine
me on the very first show pushing the go live button.
Yeah, I
that was scary.
I can imagine. I can imagine. I did used to do my own radio show
uh-huh.
in Columbia there for about 2 years, and it was
uh-huh.
scary to be the only one in the studio and pressing those
yeah.
buttons and still keeping everything straight. Yeah. I just commend you for all that you're doing.
Thanks.
I really do.
You're sweet. You're so sweet. Listen, I would love to follow up with you in a few months and see how everything is going. And if there's anything that I can help you with on the Huntington side of things, I have some contacts that maybe you might need.
Oh, wonderful. I appreciate that.
Yeah, so keep that in mind. And, again, thank you so much. And this will conclude our show for tonight. Margaret, go ahead and stay with me, and we'll chat in the screening room for just a minute. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Thank you, Margaret, for your education and advocacy mission through Missouri Cures. Amazing. Thank you, everyone, again. Don't forget to tell all your colleagues, family, and friends about Help for HD Radio. Visit us on our website, www.help4hd.org. We are also on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Google+. And you all have a great night, and we'll talk to you next week. Thank you, everyone. We'll be right back.
Thank you.